I was just very moved by the last song. We're just so unworthy. And yet God loves us so dearly. I can tell you a little story about myself. I'm talking about unworthiness. I've known Ellie for a long time before I started dating her. Yet I felt unworthy to date her because I felt she was so much better than me in so many ways. She's a lot more smarter than me. Much more gifted in so many different ways. Now, who am I for her to take notice of me? After 10 years, we've known each other. The Lord opened my eyes and the Lord nudged me to have a little courage to ask her out. But in reality, I was a real chicken. Even I had that urge. It really took me another year before I really asked her out. Granted, we were separated because she was in California and I was in Texas in seminary. But it took a little while for me to have the courage, and also since I had some worthiness to ask her out. Although it was a long-distance relationship, we made a real effort to be honest with one another, to communicate with one another, to share with each other those things that are within our hearts. Back in the old days, we didn't have email, so we wrote each other regularly. And being poor seminarians, I didn't have much fun. So we called each other once a week on Sunday evening. Our time was 11:01. That's a cheap time. Cheap prices kicks in there at that time. And I didn't have my own telephone, and there was a hall phone down the dorm hallway. It was not very private. But my next door neighbor, he was very gracious to lend his phone to me. He had his own private phone. And his line was just long enough to go out of his room, down the hall, into my room, just enough to go inside my door. And I close the door and right there and eagerly waiting to talk to her at 11:01. On Sunday night, there are times that I'm not home. I'm with my friends. Whatever I might be doing, When it got to about 10:30, it's time to go home. Bye, gang. He said, no, no, we're having a good old time. Stay with us, stay with us. Oh, no, 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 I got some important thing I need to do. I gotta go home. No, no, stay, stay. No, no, no. And I just leave because I was gonna talk to someone that I dearly love. It wasn't that comfortable lying on the floor because I didn't quite, you know, the line wasn't long enough. And we didn't have cordless back in those days. But it was a joy. There was excitement. We're falling in love. You remember? Some of you? You're falling in love. I believe one of the signs of true love is being valued. That you see each other as significant and important to each other. You know, I didn't have real good social skills back in those days, and in spite of that, Ellie still valued me. I didn't speak very well, but she valued me anyway. I had a not very good sense of directions, but she valued me anyway. I wasn't as smart as her, but she valued me anyway. I was a poor writer. She valued me and all the letters that she received from me. I didn't know how to cook and I really needed her. She valued me anyway. I'm not detail oriented, as much as she is anyway. She accepts me and values me regardless. You know, because she values me, I want to value her. And as a result, it was natural for us to want to make sacrifices for one another. We pay attention to the needs of one another and we go out of our ways to make sure that we take care of each other. Falling in love, being in love is a good thing. We cherish each other. Feels great being valued. I just feel also that not only value, but the blessed. I say, wow. God's provided me someone that's so special, that takes so very good care of me. It's great being love and to love back. It's a mutual process, back and forth. And love doesn't get any better than that. Did you remember when you first fell in love with God? I'm sure you've felt really being valued and being blessed by God. Does Ellie value me? God values us much, much more. Matter of fact, He saw us as being so significant that He sent His only Son to died to pay the penalty of our sins so that we might have newness of life with the Lord. That we can have a relationship with Him again. Although we were unworthy, God valued us. God blessed us. And that's what grace is all about. Is getting that which we really do not deserve. Because if we really deserve, if we really want to get what we deserve, then we will receive the wrath of God. You remember Pastor Doug talked about last week about grace? Sometimes like those workers that started earlier during the day, and although we agree with that one denarius, we feel like God owes us a little more. Just as God was being very generous and gracious with that worker that just started an hour before closing time and gave him a denarius too. That was God's grace. Every breath we take is grace. God valued us. Bless us. That's what happened when we fall in love. Remember the first time you fell in love with God? Oh, I remember. It was just so exciting to commune with God. I want to spend time reading His Word, praying, and I just sense His presence, His closeness, and He tends to be answering my prayer in some regularity, and I honor and praise Him for His goodness for me. I'm just eager to want to serve Him because I notice all that He has bestowed upon me. I'm just thankful for the Christian community that God has given to me. I was just eager to learn. I went to Sunday school. I went to small group and fellowship, and I just wanted more of God. So I began to obey God's word. He started changing me inside out. And I'm sure He has done that to many of us. That some of our bad habits slowly goes to the wayside. Life was good. We have a personal relationship with God and enjoying God's presence. And that's why God has created us. That we enjoy His presence. Falling in love is a really good thing. Particularly falling in love with God. However, some Christians, they might fall in love and somehow they fall out of love. Oh, they might not really intentionally try to do that. But somehow it does. It's sort of like a couple when they fall in love with each other. Somehow, various couples, through time, they stop loving each other. Again, they didn't intend to do so, to stop loving each other. However, sometimes because of distractions that takes place between the two of them, that slowly they drift apart. It breaks my heart when I see couples falling out of love as they neglect each other. Oh, they might be so caught up in pursuing the career instead of focusing on the love relationship. They're focusing on the next promotion. Instead of focusing on growing in the marital relationship, they might be focusing on their children. And somehow their time together become less and less. In fact, of course, those quality of time is not their quality. It's just like coexisting. And sometimes it's just like being roommates. You're just there. It's gradual. Whatever it might be, work, and work a little later, and before you know it, get caught up in just long hours. And sometimes we need to work long hours. But sometimes it's also a choice of ours. And it affects our relationship, our love relationship with our spouse. And in various times, maybe when we first have our first child, oh, we're committed in giving our baby the very best. By the end of the day, we're just so exhausted. We won't have much time, quality time together. Instead of training the baby, we find various times the baby training the parents to accommodate the child's schedule. Oh, it's not so easy to raise kids. Sometimes we get so wrapped up with them to forget the relationship that we ought to have with our spouse. We get distracted with so many different things. They might be good things. But yet, we need to understand more important things. Our spouse, our marriages are critical. And even more important is our relationship with God. And when we're not careful, we fall out of love. In our scripture reading, we read about the church in Ephesus. Let's look at that in Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. It says, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. And then verse 4 says, yet, however, but, wait a minute, take a look at this. I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. We see from verses 2 and 3, God commended these Christians. There were so many good things that they were doing. They were working hard for God at the church. They were standing up to God's name. They were testing people to make sure that not false heresies would come into the church. The believers there look so spiritual. At least that's what it appeared on the outside. But we see in verse 4, God totally negates all those commendations that was given to these believers. For all these so-called holy and righteous acts, God says, no, those things are not important to me. Not nearly as important as your heart for me. For you have forsaken your first love. You have lost your first love. You have fallen out of love. Many of us might not mean to fall out of love for God. But it happens sort of gradually. We might say, oh, you know, I'm just a little bit tired today. I could maybe have quiet time tomorrow. Or I stayed up really late last night. I could maybe, God understands, I'll just, you know, I need to sleep and I'll maybe miss service. Or I'll make sure I'll just come to church on time to hear Pastor Fred preach. That'll do. We let little things, we make small compromises, which leads to more compromises. Then we put God in the back seat. Before we know it, he is in the next room. Before long, our Lord is outside our house. And when we really need him, then we'll call upon him. But things are going really well now. Satan desires for us to turn away from the Lord. And he'll bring different distractions so that we will do so. And two of the most successful ways how he goes about doing that is through busyness and complacency. You see, he's a very crafty individual. He knows what we like. And he wants us to indulge in those things that we like to do. And sometimes these different activities, we're so into it that it takes up so much of our time. You might be playing those video games. Oh, we're just going to play a few minutes. And next thing we know, a couple hours goes by. Or it might be, well, you know, it's March Madness. It's just for March. Or it might be just talking on a phone or emailing or IMing. Time gets away from us. Even more trickier, Satan would like us to be busy doing good spiritual activities, making us think that we are spiritual because we are doing all the right things. But yet, if we're not careful, it becomes mechanical for us. We fool ourselves thinking that we are growing in Christ because of these spiritual activities that we're attending. We're going to fellowship, going to small group, we're coming to church on Sunday. But we must be careful not being deceived by what we do and what's going on inside our hearts. We see these Christians here in Ephesus.
They were doing a lot of good things.
And yet, they neglected the most important thing. That's their love relationship with God. Have fallen out of love. Another trap that Satan stumbled into, and Satan makes us stumble into it, is complacency. If Satan can't get us to be busy, he'll get us to be comfortable. You know, when we lose our first love, we lose that passion for Christ. We lose the joy of being in His presence. Sometimes we just think that's a chore. We lose that excitement of wanting to know more about God's truth and the wisdom that He has in His Word. Instead of striving to grow, we get comfortable. We get comfortable. We get complacent. We say, well, we don't need to do those things. I'm already doing enough. And I'm spiritual. Before we know, we get stagnant. We're just going through the motions. Notice what Revelation 3:16 says. And we see the church in Laodicea is described this way. He says, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. And we wonder, you know, life seems to be so kind of boring. Same old, same old. Nothing exciting happening. And believers, being Christians, wonderful things should be happening to us as we walk with the Lord. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ liveth in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I was talking to a couple recently, and they've realized that they have gotten comfortable. And they want to get out of this sort of rut, so-called spiritual rut. At least they realize it. I remember them coming before me asking, well, what do I need to do? What do we need to do? You remember? Earlier we talked about falling in love, and somehow some of us, although we don't really try to, we fall out of love. And well, how do we fall back into love? Well, I'd like to just mention four simple practical things that we want to consider doing. First of all, we need to turn back to God. Back to God. It needs to be a conscious effort. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, the second half of the verse, it says, they tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. It needs to be a conscious choice that, yes, I need to get out of this rut. I've been missing out on all that God has intended for me. Life is just the same old, same old. I don't want to be distracted by these different things where I'm not really having much of a relationship with God. I'm just going through the motion. Let's not wait until we're in deep water before we call upon the Lord. But instead, if we turn to God, we might be so caught up with different bad habits or distractions. God says, turn to God. But when we turn to God, we'll automatically turn away from those things that we get so wrapped up into. Turn to God. May we ask God for forgiveness. How we have deceived ourselves that we need to fall back enough with Him again. Secondly, is remember God's goodness. Just like the Israelites, God blessed them abundantly. And somehow they forget, they have such a short-term memory, remembering all that God's done for them. And if we are going to fall in love with God, we need to learn to remember God's goodness to us. In Deuteronomy 8:2, in the first part of the verse, it says, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert those 40 years. You see, basically, we are critical individuals. We tend to remember those things that are wrong, those things that are negative, and things that are right, are good. We tend to just let those things slide by. I was counseling a couple that was having marital problems. When the problem was, they were just finding fault with each other. They were angry. They were fighting one another, and they were just tired doing so. And I asked them, "Well, you really mean this?" And they consciously made a decision. Yes, this is just no good. We have trouble. We need help. And that was a conscious decision that they need to turn. And they say, "Well, we need consciously make a decision to turn to God." We talked about what we need to do. And the husband suggested, "So, you know, I've been very critical to my wife. I'm going to each day remember 5 good things about my wife. I'm going to tell her about it." I said, "Well, that's a wonderful idea." You know, I asked the wife, "Can you do the same thing too?" And they agree. I believe when we start remembering the goodness of our Lord or of other people, we begin to fall back into love. That we recognize how good, how blessed we are. I challenge you each day. That's right. Write down one thing that you're thankful about the Lord. Remembering His goodness. That's what leads us, it connects with the third point. Appreciate God's grace. Be thankful. Develop a thankful, grateful heart in what God has done for us. Look around and see what He's doing. And who He is, and being appreciative. And the more we show appreciation, recognize all that He has done, we will begin to fall back in love again. We will remember how He blessed us, how He protected us, how He provided for us, how He encouraged us. God is just gracious. We don't deserve so many different things. So often we complain about those things that we do not have. And yet we forget about how God has already blessed us so abundantly. May we remember God's goodness and appreciate God's grace. And then lastly, it's only when we come up close to God and have this relationship will we rely on God's power. See, God desires to do great things in us. He wants us to have a great, exciting life. That doesn't mean that we won't have any difficulties. It means that God could come through for us in a way we can't even imagine. And many times, unfortunately, we do not allow God to come into our life. And we figure we could handle ourselves, we could figure it out ourselves. It's when we try everything else and nothing happens, then we turn to God. God said, no, turn to me. Rely on my power. God wants to display His power. God wants to do great things in our lives.
And we fall back in love with Him. We learn to trust Him more. We go before Him with confidence. Notice in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." I'm sure there are different areas in our life where we need some help. God says, "Trust me, rely on me. Let me assist you. Let me help." We turn to God more regularly, relying on Him, begin to fall back in love with Him. We understand that we need Him. And I challenge you, if there might be a bad habit that we have, or something that maybe is a little bit out of our control and we need God, or maybe we need a miracle, if we have greater faith in God.
There's a verse in Mark 9:24. God reminds me and says, "I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief." And maybe some of us here, at one time, really enjoyed that love relationship with God. And somehow, gradually, we've been distracted. And we have fallen away.
Come back. God is waiting for us. That we could enjoy His presence fully. Turn to God. Remember God's goodness to us. And appreciate His grace. May we learn to rely on Him. Rely upon His power. Then we will fall back in love with Him. Let us stop fooling ourselves. Don't let busyness and complacency to take hold of us. God's always ready to take us back. Let's bow for prayer.
As our heads are bowed and as we humble ourselves before You, and I believe God is speaking to some of us this morning, recognizing that we need to fall back in love with God again. That life hasn't been the same. And I'd like to pray for you. You feel that God's tugging your heart and says, "You know, I need to turn back. I need to make a decisive decision today to turn back to God. I want to take those steps of remembering His goodness and appreciating His grace and relying on His power more and more." I'd like to pray for you this morning. Can you just slip your hand up and say, "Pastor Fred, would you pray for me? You know, I know I've been struggling. I want to be real. I see that. Man, I just see those hands back there in front, in the middle. And yes, you can put it down in front. Anybody else?" Say, "Pastor Fred, you know, I've just been going through the motion. I'm losing. I'm not excited about my spiritual life." Anybody else? Just slip it up and down. I see other hands going up throughout the auditorium. Yes. Yes. Lord, I pray. All of us here, Lord, we get sucked into it without even realizing it. God, we've gotten busy. We've gotten complacent, Lord. And we're not enjoying Your presence.
we're not experiencing your blessings. We feel that you're far away. We fool ourselves thinking that if we just do the right things, that you'll be pleased. And Father, we confess our sin, that we have forsaken you. We have lost our first love. And Father, rekindle that fire within us, Lord. May we see how wonderful you are. And may we reprioritize our time. We learned to love you and to enjoy your presence. And I commit each one that raised their hands, Lord. It's the first big step of making a decision to turn from our idols, whatever they might be. It might be our career, it might be our children, you know, it might be our TV or even shopping, whatever it might be. We want to turn to you, Lord. Keep us from being distracted. Help us to stay focused on you. Bless them and protect each one. In Christ's name, amen.